Hello and happy day. This is Dr. Marianne DiIorio, your virtual life coach, welcoming you once again to another broadcast of Winning with the Word. It's a joy for me to chat with you and to share principles from God's Word that will help you live a happier, more fulfilling, and more productive life. Today's topic is love. It's been said that love is the most interesting of all topics. Yet, it could also be said that of all topics, love is the most misunderstood. What do you think of when you hear the word love? Some of you may think of hearts and flowers, as in romantic love. Others may think of self-sacrifice and honor, as in love for one's country. Some of you may think of the physical union of husband and wife, as in sexual love. While others may think of helping a friend in need, as in brotherly love. The word love is used very loosely in our culture today. We use it to express the depth of relationship between a husband and wife, a mother and child, such as in the words, I love you, as well as to express a personal taste, as in, I love chocolate ice cream. It's no wonder that our society has become quite confused as to the true meaning of love. For instance, young people, and even some older people, who enter into marriage sometimes think that love consists of butterflies in one's stomach or a shiver down one's spine. Then, when the butterflies have landed and the shiver has subsided, these same people think that they are no longer in love with each other. Why? Because they don't understand the difference between being in love and real love. The two are entirely different things. Well, you may be asking, what's the difference? What is real love? If you want to learn about a particular subject, you go to an expert, right? Well, God is certainly the expert on love because God is love. His very essence is love. In other words, love is who God is. So in order to learn about love, we need to go to God. Let's look at what he says about love. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 8. Often called the famous love chapter of the Bible. Listen carefully as I read from the New Living Translation. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. Love does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable, and it keeps no record of when it has been wronged. It is never glad about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Love will last forever. Now, let's take a little closer look at this magnificent passage of Scripture. The Bible says that love is patient. Webster defines patient as bearing pains or trials calmly or without complaint. Are you patient? Or do you get uptight and complain when the traffic light stays red too long? Have you ever thought that perhaps you could use that extra time at the traffic light to pray? Are you patient, or do you blow a fuse when your spouse forgets to enter a check into the check register? Have you ever considered that you too have faults that annoy your spouse? The Bible says that love is also kind. To be kind means to be gentle and considerate. Are you gentle and considerate when your secretary forgets to give you an important message? Or do you jump down his or her throat? If employees need correction, there is a loving way to correct them without attacking their dignity as human beings. The same applies to children or to students or to anyone under your authority for that matter. The Bible goes on to say that love is not jealous. To be jealous means to be hostile toward a rival or toward one whom you believe enjoys an advantage over you. Are you jealous? Are you suspicious and worried that your coworker will get the promotion instead of you? Are you afraid that your classmate will win the drama award instead of you? Jealousy has its roots in fear. Fear that you are not as good as the person of whom you are jealous. If you really understood how unique you are in God's eyes, you would have no reason to be jealous. You would understand that, in reality, you have no rivals because you are a one-of-a-kind masterpiece created by God. There is no other you. There has never been another you, and there will never be another you. Therefore, since you are an original masterpiece, you can't really be compared to anyone else. When you realize this, you will see that since each of us is one-of-a-kind, there is really no competition among us. The Bible says that love does not insist on its own way. Do you ever find yourself insisting on your own way? For example, suppose a husband has received a $500 bonus from his employer. The wife wants to use the money to buy new curtains for the living room. The husband, on the other hand, wants to use the money to buy a lawnmower. The wife insists that they need the curtains. The husband insists that they need a lawnmower. And back and forth they go, each insisting on his or her own way. Inevitably, an argument erupts. Before you know it, they don't talk to each other for a week. If, however, they had chosen to respond in love, each would have been willing to give in to the other. They would have discussed the issue calmly and rationally, and they would have reached a decision that would have been mutually beneficial and that would have kept their relationship intact and even deepened it. The Bible says that love is not irritable or touchy. Are you touchy? Do you fly off the handle at the drop of a hat? If so, you are not walking in love. Love does not get irritated or easily annoyed. It allows for mistakes and builds up instead of tearing down. Love always thinks the best about every person. Love also does not get offended. When someone says something unkind to you or insults you in some way, do you get offended or hurt? If you do, you are not walking in love. A person who walks in love hardly even notices when someone wrongs him. And what about injustice? Are you glad when you get away with something, thinking that you are cool because you weren't caught? Or do you admit your guilt and make the proper amends? The Bible says that love is never glad about injustice, but rejoices when the truth wins out. Next, the Bible says that love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. Have you given up hope of your child's ever getting off drugs? Have you given up hope of ever having a wonderful marriage? Have you given up hope of ever being healthy again? Have you given up hope of ever getting out of debt? If you have, then you are not walking in love, because love never gives up. Love always hopes that things will change for the better, and love always believes that they will. Finally, love never fails. Think about that for a moment. Love never fails. That means you can always expect to win when you walk in love. No matter how bad the situation looks, you will always come out on top when you choose to love. By now you may be thinking, this love thing is too difficult. There's no way I could ever walk in love. It's impossible. You are absolutely right. There is no way that we, in our own natural strength, could ever walk in love. But we can walk in love in God's supernatural strength. You see, God has made a way for us to be able to walk in love all the time, and that way is Jesus Christ. When we are in Him and He is in us, His love can flow out of Him, through us, and into the people around us. So, how can we be in Christ and have Him be in us? The answer to that question is very simple. All we have to do is invite Him into our lives. When we do, He will be in us, and we in turn will be in Him, and then He will love through us. When Christ loves through us, our job of loving becomes easy, for we are loving through His strength and not our own, and He is infinitely stronger than we are. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 and 30, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So come to Jesus today and let Him love through you. Let Him give you His joy and peace in exchange for your misery and turmoil. Pray this simple prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I admit that I am a sinner in need of your mercy and grace. I believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for me, and that you rose again on the third day. I invite you now to come into my life. I receive you as my personal Savior and as the Lord of my life. Make of me all that you created me to be. Amen. If you sincerely prayed this prayer, you are now a born-again Christ follower. I invite you to write to me at Dr. Maryann, that's M-A-R-Y-A-N-N, at MaryannDiorio.com. I would like to send you a little booklet that will help get you started in your Christian walk. Thank you for listening. This is Dr. Maryann Diorio, your virtual life coach, reminding you that God loves you just as you are and just where you are, and that He will help you to keep on winning with the Word.